Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 527. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will be glad to show you how to receive either a CD or an audio tape. Please specify which one you want. They're both free, including the postage and handling, and remember to ask for program number 527. I've got some Bible reading for you, and I've got an explanation on today's music, if I get to it, and then tomorrow I'll be doing I'm doing a message of satanic music that Satan is throwing, I would say, at least 50% of the people's souls, and then on godly music, but I've got some music and some letters, so right now let's ask the Lord, Father, bless this message, bless this program, anoint it, use me, Lord, as though it were you. Talk right through me, Father, to win souls, to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, I pray that you destroy the works of the devil, every work of his. You do not want the devil to operate any longer. He's been thrown down to earth, as you mention in your word, and he's full of wrath, knowing that his time is short. And Lord, and open everyone's heart, their spirit, their souls, their minds, to receive everything that you want them to know in these last days before it's everlastingly too late, that their souls might be saved, that the church may repent and get back, and also that they may be strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says, amen.
Amen.
And here I am to sing for you a great Joe Leahy arrangement, and the name of the song is I Believe.
Night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way.
Praise the Lord. Before the message tonight, whether you're hearing this in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, or in the middle of the dark and hours of the morning, I want to make a comment on supposedly Bush's plan, peace plan for Israel. First of all, President Bush doesn't have any business over in Israel to be telling them what to do and what not to do. They should be living by the word of God. And Bush is there under the orders of the Pope. And the Pope has no business there. So these are Antichrist, according to the word of God. I mean, I'm called, and every true Christian is called to be the watchman on the wall. Why should Israel allow the enemy to live within their gates? That's the same as saying that in the old Jerusalem that the Philistines should be let inside there so that they could destroy the Jewish people. First of all, the land does not belong to the Palestinians. It belongs to the Jews. God never gave the inheritance to the holy of the Holy Land to the Palestinians. He gave it to the Jews. Bush has no jurisdiction over Israel, either does the Roman Empire. If the Jewish people want to be blessed by God, they need to receive the Messiah and rebuke these people and tell them to stay out of their gates. And if there are some weak, yellow-bellied leaders in Israel that want to comply with the Vatican on the auspices of that this is, you know, for world peace, this is ridiculous. And, you know, these different ministers make me sick to my stomach. Pat Robertson says, I just can't understand it. I just can't understand it. He doesn't understand that there's a devil in this world. He doesn't understand that there's an Antichrist. Well, then call me up, Pat, and I'll tell you all about it, okay? Call me up on just a friendly chat, all right? All you one-worlders and you people that just believe that Bush is some kind of a messiah, which he's the last thing from a messiah that I've ever seen in my life. And Pat Robertson just says, there's a fog over the eyes of Bush. Bush knows exactly who he's taking orders from, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And this Rice woman... I understand everything that's going on today. Pat Robertson, you should just keep your mouth shut if you don't understand. You know, we have you on tape saying, I just can't understand. Why would a leader of this world, and I happen to be a world leader, from God, to draw people into the true Israel, into Christ. Israel, the land does not want you to be there, if anybody that's of the Lord. And Israel, the Lord does not want you, Mr. Bush, or you Antichrist Pope, to be there. The Lord does not want you Jewish people to allow the enemy to come within your walls. Keep the land that you have been given by God. Now this is coming from the Lord himself. All right, now if you rebel against this President Bush, watch out, because God is I've told you before that the Lord is going to destroy you, and you don't listen to anything. You won't listen. You're just so happy that they've got about 300, 400, 500 planes hovering around you. You act like you're so bold. I don't have 300, 400, 500 planes. I don't even have one plane sort of flying overhead, but I've got God, and you don't. Amen. That's why you need all those planes, to protect yourself. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like you. There's nobody on this earth that is your friend more than myself, because I'm telling you to stay out of there and keep your nose out of Israel. Nobody elected you to be the president of Israel. You made a statement that you don't like dictatorship unless you're the dictator. Woe unto the world if you ever become the dictator. You're the nothingest type person I've ever seen in my life. You and the Pope, that homosexual Pope. It's even been, reported that you're one of the boys. Okay? Stay out of Israel. Keep your nose in the United States business instead of Iraq, Iran, and all these other countries, and especially Israel, or God is going to slay you. All right? Now, we have some letters tonight. Now, where's the first one from?
McRae, Georgia.
Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Brother Pastor Tony Alamo, I am addressing myself to you in the name of Jesus, cordially greeting you and hoping you are blessed in your ministry. I have been in a federal prison for the past 3 years, and about a year ago I found out about your ministry through a dear brother.
I mean, it just burns me up. Who do you think you are, Bush? And who do you think you are, Pope? You guys are going to stand before the Lord one of these days, and you're going to be the sorriest puppy that anyone has ever seen. You're nothing but a stinking, stupid, rebellious man. How many have you seen down through history to be destroyed by God? People just exactly like you. And God will do the same thing, because I'm praying about you, both of you, and all you other government agents that are rising up against Israel and against children of God that are preaching the gospel. We're not afraid of you. Our God is on our side, and for sure he's with us. Therefore, there's no one that can be against us. Marching, you get these duped troops of yours to march in and kill people and torture people. Who are you that you can torture people? You can come up with these things. You made up that war over there in Iraq, just like you're making up wars all over the country to make everybody believe in that demonic democracy of yours. The people, I keep saying this, have always been wrong. There should never be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It should be, the people should be following the word of God, because God is the one that is the great leader and is the one that has the way, the truth, and the life. You people have no jurisdiction over the people of the Lord. You may kill us, you may put us in jail, you may trump up charges on us. You're the Philistines that have got us surrounded, thinking that you're going to do something. Read about Sennacherib, how the Lord wiped out that entire army of men. And read about Egypt, how God destroyed that bunch of devils over there and the entire army in the Red Sea. And you're like the same kind of a pipsqueak that Pharaoh is. You're just a man. You're no gods. You're nothing. You're waving your scrawny hand at the cameras like somebody is waving back at you. People are not waving at you. They're shaking their fists at you, because you haven't got everybody duped. You stupid idiots. You listen to God so that you can go to heaven and not hell. You don't have any guarantee that you're going to live another day, nor does any of the people that you call the United States Army, Navy, and Marines, which is now called the International Troops, doing the will of the Vatican. Now back off. I mean, this is from the Lord. because the Lord is getting has had enough of you. All right, let's start this letter again.
Dear Brother Pastor Tony Alamo, I am addressing myself to you in the name of Jesus, cordially greeting you and hoping you are blessed in your ministry. I have been in a federal prison for the past 3 years, and about a year ago I found out about your ministry through a dear brother here in this institution. I wrote asking you for literature, and I want to thank you for the Messiah book and the literature you sent me. Many things were cleared up in my mind, and doubts were dissolved. Your ministry is a great blessing, not only for me, but for many other people around the world. I can see it in many people who express their thankfulness for your literature. If it's not too much, please send my family literature in Spanish. It fills me with joy to have received mail from you, and I hope to receive more news and literature from you soon. Blessings to you from the McRae Church, Caesar from McRae, Georgia.
All right. Do you have another letter?
Yes.
Where is it from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear sir, how is your condition of health? I hope by the grace of God you are fine. Sir, I am a boy of 13 years who has trusted Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. It is through Jesus Christ that I am saved. At first, I was ignorant to the Word of God, but when I read some of your literature, the Holy Spirit touched my soul, and I was born again. I was feeling joy for the whole day. May the Lord richly bless you for what you are doing. May He continue to bless you and add more years to your life. God wants everybody to be like Him, and that is what you are helping people to do by telling people the Word of God so they can change their bad ways to good ways. May He continue to protect you. Sir, I will use this opportunity to request a Bible and more of your literature. May the Lord be with you wherever you go and whatever you will do. Yours faithfully, Eric from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, we've been giving you lessons on why to praise. There's always these lessons in the Bible that teach you to do certain things for your benefit. Like, for instance, praising. Regarding the wise men, the lesson of praising the Lord they gave us. When they had visited the manger scene, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard, and not only heard but seen, as it was told unto them, which is in Luke chapter 2, verse 20. Now the disciples praised the Lord after the resurrection of the land and His ascension into the kingdom of heaven. We read in the Bible God's word, quote, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising. Now, this is continually praising and blessing God. That's Luke 24, 52 and 53. Can you imagine them praising the Lord in the dead and formal temples? You know, that's you go to a temple that is of people that are dead, and they act formal, they act very nice and quiet and everything, and here comes a bunch of people that had just seen the birth of the Messiah, and they themselves were saved because they believed. And there's no way that a true person of the Lord could come into that temple and sit there quiet with their little hands folded like you see in these Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic cults where they're just ringing bells and some guy's up there talking in Latin and you can't even understand what he's saying. No, it said that they were praising the Lord in these dead informal temples, you know, like these dead churches today. Praising the Lord in the dead informal temples was under the control of the same man who had crucified Christ. I mean, our Lord. Sometimes the hardest place to praise the Lord is in our dead and formal churches. People look at you with disgust. I've seen people in my own church grind their teeth in such hatred in their hearts when they saw one of the young men praising and thanking the Lord loudly. And they says, "You're not supposed to." Boy, I got on them. It was unbelievable. "You're not supposed to praise and thank the Lord loudly." A loud praise the Lord is like the explosion of a bomb to the devil. In the early church, after the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, there was a tremendous joy in the lives of all the believers. Heaven had come down, and glory filled their hearts. It came down among them, the Holy Spirit, and baptized them, and they spoke in other tongues. That is why the Christians even started the charismatic movement, which is really not of the Lord at all. It's a bunch of people that want to stay in these dead and formal churches, and they have an outward appearance of praising and thanking the Lord. And in some of the Pentecostal churches, they're as dead as doornails. It never could compare with the early church awakening at the revival that came during the outpouring of the Holy Spirit during the mid part of the 60s in our church in Los Angeles, California, and Hollywood, which now has spread throughout the entire earth. That's a real revival in a dynamic, life-changing, converting, transforming church. Now, there wasn't any murmur of this type of thing going on during the time that Sue and I started the ministry in 1964. Now, even the president is saying that he's a Christian. Of course, he's not. He's a Catholic. A Catholic is not Christian. This is the reason that the Jews are so adamant about not receiving Christianity, because they think that the Catholics are Christians, and they know that they were the ones that were putting them to death in the death camps over in Auschwitz. Catholics are not Christians. And many people join that cult thinking that they are because they have a form, and they look real holy, and they talk in another language where you can't understand what they're saying. At first, when I went into the Catholic Church to find out if that was the true church after I had that supernatural experience with the Lord, I thought the guy in there was saying, "Can anyone beat me in dominoes?" Of course, I didn't know anything about dominoes. I never have played games before. But, he's talking in Latin. That's what I thought it was. Can anybody beat me in dominoes? No, I probably couldn't, and I can't be a phony like you people are. So it's transforming, glorious with joy and praise that are uncontrollable. When you're really saved, it's just uncontrollable. You praise, and when you give your entire life over to the Lord, and you trust Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and give Him all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it's uncontrollable. You're controlled then by the Holy Spirit. People shouldn't care if people grit their teeth at them or give them dirty looks. It also brings dedication and sacrificial giving into the life of the one who is revived. Sue told me when we went to a Baptist church, "Don't say anything supernatural in here. They'll think we're of the devil," because they're of the devil. The devil thinks that everybody's the devil. The people today are saying, "Well, no one can be perfect." That's because they're not perfect. You're perfect if you're walking in the Holy Spirit. The early church was really on fire for the Lord. They sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them lay them at the feet of the leaders, like Peter, and divided them as the church had need, the people in the church had need. But they did it in a specific manner, the way that the Bible tells people of the Lord to do that. So that's when they laid all their holdings and everything at the feet of the apostles, and they were given out as people had a need. And we see the scriptures of Ananias and Sapphira, a couple of phonies in the church that said that they had given everything unto the Lord, but they didn't. They were liars. Liars. Oh, God dropped them dead instantly and rolled them up in a sheet, and they went out and buried them, and that put a lot of fear on the church. It isn't like today where people go to church and dress up real nice, and they meet business associates there, and they clap their hands and sing, "Come by you," and just formalities is all it is. And to all that had need, everyone, it was like the commonwealth in the kingdom of heaven and in the church of God, that everybody has everything that they need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And note, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God. That kept them going. Acts 2:45-47. Is it any wonder that thousands were saved? No, because they had this zeal in them, and zeal is contagious. When people praise the Lord, it attracts others to do the same. In other words, to join them. There's many business associates that I have that were not saved not long ago, and when they get around myself and our people and everything, we say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah," and all of a sudden they're saying, "Praise the Lord," when we talk back. So it's contagious. This is why the praisers are the happy people. No one is attracted to someone who is mournful and unhappy. If you want to be a winner of souls, then get happy. Think of what you have, what the Lord has given you, and you will attract others to your joy more than you will to your mourning and complaining. I know people in my own church who have never won a soul in their life. Praising the Lord makes you happy and gives you a beautiful, happy countenance, a beautiful, happy spirit. There was a man who was lame in the Bible, many of them, of course, but the Bible talks of this specific one. Imagine being carried to the temple every day for 40 long years, begging day after day for a few more pennies so that you could buy yourself a few morsels of food. In other words, to eat your evening supper. What a pitiful existence that is. Yet one day, this man was healed through the word of faith. The word of God is Jesus. Believe on the entire word of God, which is Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then all these phonies today are saying, you don't have to do any work after you get saved. They're lying to you. The Bible says those that continue, we have to take up the cross, deny ourselves the things of our life, so to speak, the things of the world, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to rest in Him, Sabbath in Him. So this man was healed through the word of faith by the Lord in the power of Jesus Christ in the life of Peter and John. Christ was the and is today the life-giving spirit. We have mortal life, but the Lord Jesus gives us eternal life. Mortal life is over soon. It's like a vapor, a smoke, a blade of grass, a shadow. We're here today and gone tomorrow. When the miracles of healing came upon his body, and he could not only stand or walk, he went wild with happiness and joy and praising. Quote, and he leaping up stood. Imagine, not just standing up, but leaping up. Stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising, praising God for what he had just done to him. That's Acts 3:8. Do you have it right? Quick, read it.
And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
If you don't think that that's important or that it's something worthy of praising God for, what are you going to do? Just sit down and fold your hands and say, and then just sing songs real without any empathy in them. If you don't think that's important, you might be crippled one of these days and be put in that position to where you will then be sad that you didn't let this scripture mean anything to your spirit, your soul. Praising is contagious. When the lame man started praising God, all the people who saw him were filled with amazement. We have all been praising the Lord together with this healed man ever since that, because we can read that scripture and rejoice about it today, okay?
Amen.
If you believe the Bible.
Amen.
But if you don't believe the Bible, you'll just sit there with your deadpan face and say, yes. Then there's the heavenly company. Heaven is going to be filled and is filled right now with a company of praising people. There's a praising company there now. And there's going to be a bigger praising company very soon. And who are the ones who are going to be doing the praising there? Not people who don't praise here, but it will be the saints and angels. If you don't like praising the Lord here in this world, then you will never be going to heaven. And if you ever did get there, you certainly wouldn't be comfortable there, because everyone is going to be praising the Lord there. The Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, as well as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of John pictures, saw a picture of the wedding supper of the Lamb. The Lord showed him a picture of it. In other words, this wedding scene, this wedding supper, is taking place in heaven, and he says, quote, a voice came out of the throne saying, of all things, what should he say? Praise our God, all ye his servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. That's Revelations 9:5. Do you have it? Read it.
And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great.
The entire scene in the kingdom of heaven is pictured in the book of Revelation as a heaven of praises to God. 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands will praise the Lord and give him honor and glory and blessing. Revelations 5:11-12.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The angels will stand around the throne, and they will worship God, saying, and they're doing it now, quote, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 7:11-12. When we praise the Lord, we have a pretty good dose of the kingdom of heaven to go to heaven in him with. We were actually created to praise the Lord. We praise him by keeping his commandments, and also the fruit of our lips we praise him as well. Just using lip service will not be enough. We have to praise him and obey his commands. This is our predestination, quote, according to as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, in other words, without sin, meaning we must be perfect before him in love, which is the keeping of God's commandments. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his power, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's Ephesians 1:4-6. Read it yourself, because I don't want to run out of time. Yes, you and I were predestinated to the praise of the glory of his power. And all power in heaven and on earth belongs to him. The Bible says grace, but grace means power. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord right now? Come on, everybody, just raise your hands up and say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Now, there's victory in music, and this is another subject, and victory through singing. As the Bible clearly shows us, music is the language of the soul. Everybody can feel the music one way or the other, amen?
Amen.
If it's godly music, it lifts your soul up and makes you feel beautiful. It expresses the heart and soul of whoever composed it and of whoever listens to it. If the one who has composed the music is filled with the Holy Spirit, the music will carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit for many centuries, really, until the end of time. Throughout every part of time, I believe that much of the anointed sacred music with which God has gifted this world with will be heard throughout the ages and even throughout eternity. I believe as well that much of the beautiful music of heaven is yet to be composed. written or given by God in the future throughout the through His anointing to someone who will pay the price to receive it. There's a price to pay for everything that we receive. There's prayer we have to pray and thank the Lord. Not all the music is divinely inspired, however. Some music, especially today and down through many years, still is tainted by the soul of one who has not had a complete deliverance from the spirits, the evil spirits, that possessed him in the past. I'm very sad to say that much of this type of music has even entered the church. A lot of people say we must have a mixture in our sacred music. I heard this big TV program. They had two channels on at the same time. And it says, well, I just believe that we should lead people to the Lord in every way that we can. No, the Bible says that it pleases God that the world will be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel, not for having a bunch of hags out there in white sheets and stuff and prancing across the stage and a bunch of homosexual-looking guys doing the same thing and singing satanic music and looking as though they're demons right out of the pit of hell. You're not going to lead anybody to the Lord that way. I'm winning millions of souls, and I've never, ever even thought of doing anything like that. It's not scriptural, all right? So they say that we must have a mixture of our sacred music. In other words, the world and then sacred music as well, which has grieved the Holy Spirit very much. But because the name of Jesus is mentioned in this type of music, it is supposed to be accepted by the church, or accepted, by the people that call themselves the church, or accepted as being holy just because they mention the name of Jesus. Isn't that sick? Not everyone that mentions the name of Jesus is of Jesus, in spite of the fact that the one who wrote it has never been completely set free. They've never even been set free at all. They've never been delivered from the demon spirits or demoniac influences. The spirits that influence them will still hang on in his musical career after he was born again. So this kind of music is satanically inspired. Satan knows the power of music. If you'll recall, if you'll read the Word of God, study it, you'll see that he, Satan, was one of the great musicians of the kingdom of heaven before his fall. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel describes Satan, or it was Lucifer at the time, and now he would say he's Satan. In describing Satan or Lucifer, he says, quote, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, the workmanship of thy tabrets," which means tambourines. Tabret is like he played the tambourine. I also play the tambourine, but I don't get into the things the devil does. God let him play the tambourine too. Or see, tambourines. And of thy pipes, which was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Ezekiel 28:13. He is a creation of God. He doesn't create anything but trouble, misery, woe, death. Again, the word tabret is the same word for tambourine, one used for that same instrument, and it refers also to musical instruments that were used in Bible times. The scripture shows us that as the anointed cherub that covered, unquote. Satan, or Lucifer, who was changed to Satan because of his pride, was gifted and anointed for music. When he fell, he took all these things that he knew down to earth here with him. The gifts that God had given him, he took those gifts down to earth with him. So, quote, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God is not going to repent. If he gave you a gift, you may not use it for the Lord. I had a singer named Rovan, and I tried to get him to use it for the Lord, but he didn't. And Rovan is dead now. I have a list of many people here that were in the music business, and they died at a very young age, many of them of cancer, suicide, overdose of drugs, all sorts of things. So God, it says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That's Romans 11:29. So Satan didn't lose his musical abilities when he was thrown down to earth. As a matter of fact, you know, if you listen to the music today, you'll see that it's definitely Satan inspired. Amen?
Amen.
And a lot of people in the churches, and even my church, I have to watch it like a hawk. I want to review every piece of music and every book or magazine that comes into this church, because the Lord had told me to be the watchman on the wall. Now that is without repentance. That's Romans 11:29. In other words, God isn't going to say, I'm taking that gift back because of the fact that you're fallen away. But the perverted one has perverted his gift. There are a lot of people that I know that once were saved, that played godly music, and now they're playing perverted music. Not in my church. A lot of prostitutes were saved, and they went right back into the house of prostitution, or being streetwalkers. And many of them were killed. They're dead. So he took the gift. Satan took the gift with him and has inspired his fellow followers with this same perverted version of music that God had initially given him and them. Now, so there's some perverted versions of music that God had initially given them with the idea that they would use it for the Lord, with which he is, in these last days, contaminating human beings all over the world, Satan is, with his music. This perverted music, that is why you will find that much of the supposed to be modern, blasphemous music, quote, music, unquote, that is recorded is even back masked. When I say back masked, I'm saying B-A-C-K and then M-A-S-K-E-D. That happened way back around quite a while ago when I was in the music business. This is something that has happened many years ago when I was in the record industry. There was a new word coined in to describe music, which when it is played in reverse, it has a lascivious, satanically evil wording. Now you could like turn the record backwards, just like a disc jockey does when he's setting it to be ready for the next commercial or whatever. You turn it backwards and it says, I am the devil and you are under my spell, and all this kind of garbage. All right? And it's not funny. Not at all. You know, the young kids think it's funny, but they don't realize they're falling right into Satan's hands it into the fire, the pits of hell and the lake of fire. Now, they don't have to do it because they have all these rap artists that use. Now they come out. They don't. You don't have to. They used to have to hide it, but now they just come right out and talk. They sing straight on. You don't have to do it in reverse anymore, because that's how much of a hold that Satan has through music in this world today. These rappers, they use every kind of foul language that Satan gives them. This is the connotation of Satan. Back many years ago, when I was in the recording industry, it was used in such a way that Satan is worshipped with this music of his. Music is one of Satan's greatest weapons to destroy the souls of every generation that hears it. And he has used it very effectively, very lasciviously. People love to hear lascivious things, which means satanic, sexual, sensual things. Oh, they just love it because, you know, in their home they may have been raised right and they never heard it there. And oh, they really think they're on to something. But they don't realize that Satan is pouring that into their soul. And you say, well, you're just too straight-laced. Listen, you know, you people that are possessed with the devil, you'll find out what I'm telling you. I have to end this message at this moment, but I'm going to take it up again tomorrow, so make sure you tune in, because you're not going to want to miss this one. This is the time to call everyone to order, to call everybody to the kingdom of God. And the way we do that is you just pray to the Lord this prayer. You say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God, you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell him how to receive a copy of this program, number 527.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message, a continuation of the one you've just heard. And, you know, if you're going to keep out of Satan's hands, if you're going to keep his spirit out of your body, you're going to have to pray to the Lord, have thine own way, Lord. And this is myself singing, have thine own way.
Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow,
Christ only all.